Clean, safe, local. Your home for business is the Village of Bedford Park. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Monday, November 11th. Good afternoon, and thanks so much for joining us this Veterans Day for the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Rachel Pearson, filling in for Rob Hart. Well, a successful job search goes beyond the latest tech. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, though, as mentioned, the week ahead includes some key data on inflation, plus more post-election analysis. Joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Tom Hudson, a financial journalist in Miami. And Tom, let's first look backward, then we'll turn our attention forward. How have the markets been reacting to Tuesday's results? And what kind of economic forecast does that mean moving forward?
Well, the markets have been buying risk, and the appetite for risk has gotten much larger since the clarity of the presidential outcome, and really even the outcome of the race in Capitol Hill has gotten a lot clearer, too. You've seen just a tremendous amount of money move out of the Treasury market, out of the bond market, into equities generally. You've seen a big appetite for higher risk equities, and clearly even today you're seeing a risk for cryptocurrencies, for Bitcoin, and the expectation of more clear regulations and a more freer regulations around cryptocurrency specifically, but an enormous change in market sentiment here, Rachel, in the last 5 days, leaning all in on risk assets.
And is that an endeavor that you think is wise and is backed, or is this something where we're going to see the swing of the other side?
Yeah, you know, I mean, any big move, you always got to get nervous one way or the other. Mm-hmm. That the market is going to kind of see the other side of it. And certainly there is building concern about this risk appetite that investors or traders have had in the last 5 or 6 days, particularly as it comes to it's really tilting at the windmill of the Federal Reserve. Because, yes, we had the election last week, a lot of clarity on politics, nationally speaking. We had the Federal Reserve sticking to its guns, cutting interest rates, feeling comfortable with inflation, but yet a lot of the Trump economic policies are inflationary, or at least have the risk of inflationary attributes, tariffs, and clearly his immigration could feed higher prices as he moves toward inauguration day into 2025.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is a conversation I've had with friends too, is explaining that tariffs specifically, like they're a ripple effect, right? There are repercussions, and ultimately it comes back to the American consumer.
Indeed, ultimately, the person at the end of the supply chain is going to be stuck with the prices, right? I mean, whether or not they pay that price is up to them. That's the supply and demand. It's economics 101. We can talk about all of the highfalutin, formulas that come out of economic departments and tax planning in Congress, but ultimately it is in a consumer-driven economy like we have in the United States and that we have globally. It's going to come down to the supply and demand from that consumer, and the tariffs that have been articulated by candidate Trump and now President-elect Trump. If they're met with other tariffs by our trading partners, it is an inflationary environment.
Right. Any predictions here on the inflation data that's going to come out this Wednesday?
Yeah, I think the concern, the hope is that it's going to continue to be tame from a month over month perspective. And I think what we'll hear probably from Federal Reserve officials in the days ahead is guiding some analysis toward their confidence that the inflation trend continues to go, continues to cool, which is good news. I think what's missed in all this, Rachel, is the cumulative effect, right? And the American public, while some will say, well, they voted for lower prices, the American public does not really want deflation. That's a much different economic problem to tackle, and one that we just have to look overseas to 30 years in Japan and how difficult it is to get out of that. What the American public wants is slower inflation, and they've been getting that over the past many months.
Thanks so much for the insight. Tom Hudson, financial journalist in Miami. Coming up, we'll talk about how to stand out of the crowd when searching for a job.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the job market is a highly competitive one, and those applying for a job need to find ways to be seen among the crush of applicants. So let's get some insight from Michelle Reisdorf. She's a Chicago jobs expert at Robert Half here in Chicago. And Michelle, what's it going to take to get my application, my piece of paper, my resume to stand out from the hundreds, thousands of others?
Well, it's really about taking the time to customize your resume for the job that you're applying for and not just take the blanket approach of, I've got one resume and I'm going to apply to 100 jobs and look like everybody else.
So that would mean looking through the job description, because we know that those are often a really good indicator of the type of candidate they're looking for, and then maybe just sort of we're not making anything up here, but tailoring the language to fit that description.
Absolutely. So what you want to do is really look at that job description, understand the job description, see what the keywords are in that job description, and then look at your resume and see, is it tailored to be picked up by any applicant tracking system for those keywords? And so you want to look at, you know, any skills that you have, industries that you have, even personal attributes that you have that would be a good match for those keywords.
Okay, so I'm going to ask this, and I'm going to ask it carefully, because a tool in this could be using artificial intelligence to help rework your resume, right? You know what your experience is, you know what your skills are, but you could have AI help tailor it to that specific description. But here's the thing, I've also seen videos of people doing video interviews, and they let AI hear the question that the employer's asking, and then they'll read the response that AI generates. So it's like you're not even actually there in the interview process. How do you keep your individuality while still getting a little technical assistance?
Yeah, you're absolutely dead on, Rachel. The fact of the matter is AI should only be used to kind of elevate your honest work experience or maybe better help you explain that versus using it to create a resume or to craft your responses. What will land you the job is your skills and your personality, your soft skills, those types of things. And AI can't replicate or create that. And so it's very important for applicants to showcase both their contributions to the workspace, use AI to maybe enhance how that's represented, but very much make that individualized and focused on your personal.
All right, Michelle, real quick, because it's been a few years since I've applied for a job. Thankfully, I'm happily employed here. But I remember reaching out to news directors, employers directly, emailing them saying, hey, here's who I am. Here's my resume. Going beyond just filling out the application submission. Is that frowned upon, or is that something that's still a viable option?
No, and I would absolutely recommend, again, it's one more step in standing out from the crowd, is don't assume that the applicant tracking system or just sending in your resume is going to get you that job. Be persistent, send a follow-up email, make a phone call to that hiring manager, HR department, finding out the status, because what you don't want to do is get lost in the shuffle. And those are all things that help you stand out.
Thanks so much, Michelle Reisdorf, a Chicago jobs expert at Robert Half. Up next, we'll look at some casual dining restaurant chains that are facing some massive challenges.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Red Lobster, TGI Fridays, both closing restaurants as many many casual dining chains are navigating financial straits. We welcome Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, also known as the Restaurant Coach here in Chicago. And Izzy, it's the end of casual dining as we know it. I apologize for that, but it's been stuck in my head since I knew we were talking about this today. What is going on with these types of eateries?
Well, you know, for some of them, like TGI Fridays and Red Lobster, they have had a very, very long run. And I think one of the big changes, I mean, their sales have been dropping for a number of years, but, you know, again, COVID, which gets blamed for everything, is one of the things that, you know, changed people's habits of going to casual places like Fridays and like Red Lobster and opting for a lot more drive-through, carry-out, and take-home.
I think we're also seeing more variety when it comes to drive-through. It used to just sort of be the true fast food, but now you've got places, I mean, Panera's offering drive-through, Chipotle's bringing in drive-through. We're seeing a lot more variety there. What's going to fill these spaces? They're somewhat, at least in the Red Lobster ones in particular, they're pretty noticeable. They're what am I trying to say here? They have a certain look to them. So what retailer can go there, if a retailer at all?
Well, I mean, you are seeing, and you mentioned Chipotle, and they are opening up or looking to open 4,000 or so new locations over the next couple of years. Chick-fil-A is doing the same thing. But, you know, there is a demand for these empty spaces, and you'll see that there are a lot more large operations going in there that provide, you know, eatertainment, right? You can go there for dinner and bowling and pickleball and all sorts of things. So that's going to be a game changer, taking over a number of those spaces as well.
Izzy, you sort of touched on how COVID's getting blamed for a lot of the troubles here. Is it possible that there may have been some practices in place that weren't the best that were then exacerbated by COVID-19? For instance, all-you-can-eat shrimp? I can't imagine there was a big profit margin on that for Red Lobster.
No, and that really, you know, drove the sales during that time of the year. So when they ran that, their goal was to get as many people in the door and hope as many people as not, you know, maybe if you had a table of four, they were hoping that two people might do the shrimp and the other two would do an entree. But that was keeping the brand alive. And, you know, certainly COVID changed that. And not many people thought of TGI Fridays as a place to go for carryout. And they really didn't market themselves in that way during COVID.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works here in Chicago. Still ahead, it's end of year financial checklists, plus some suggestions from our Monday stock pick.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Rachel Pearson in for Rob Hart, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A suburban man will remain in custody until trial for an incident involving a gun and a high-speed police chase that followed. The bombing in Gaza continues with no end in sight, and as we move into mid-November, it's time to put together an end-of-year financial checklist. It's also Stock Picker Monday, so we'll get a couple of suggestions from an investing pro. WBBM Business, the Dow is up 302 points, NASDAQ down 55, the S&P 500 little changed, it's down about 1 point now. AccuWeather says we'll see sunshine, some clouds today with a high of 56 degrees before temperatures fall to around 40 degrees overnight. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues, and a Schiller Park man accused of pointing a gun at another man at a gas station then leading police on a high-speed chase will be held until trial. 44-year-old Carlos Rivera faces multiple charges, including felony fleeing, aggravated driving with a suspended license, and reckless driving. The incident started late Friday night near Irving Park and York Roads in Bensonville. Police say Rivera threw a weapon out of his car's window before crashing and being captured after a short foot chase. Overseas, Israeli forces are launching more attacks against what they say are terrorist targets in Gaza. It comes as Israel allows more humanitarian aid into the region. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer has the latest.
Under U.S. pressure, Israel has been increasing the amount of aid from a low of 30 trucks a day getting into Gaza in October to about 150 today, but that is still less than half of the American target.
The United Nations is also warning that the increase in aid still well short of what's needed.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Stocks are trading mixed right now. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ross Mayfield, an investment strategy analyst at Baird based in Louisville. And Ross, we're still seeing that Trump enthusiasm continue on Wall Street today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think markets continue to be excited that we're not in a drawn out and protracted election contest, and there's a lot to be excited about at lower taxes, deregulation, things that the market will really like going forward.
Is this a rally that's set to continue, or do you think it's going to be short-lived here?
Well, I think it's set to continue. Obviously, the election has kind of supercharged certain corners of the market, but heading into the election, the market was in a really strong position. You had earnings growth, you had the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates, and you are already up 20%+ on the year with a lot of different sectors working. So the election is certainly in focus, but the market was on strong footing even before that. And so we think that there are real fundamental reasons that it will continue into 2025.
What specific areas would you say of the market are poised to do well under the Trump administration? And then the second part of that would be, what would be the biggest threat?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing working over the last couple of days are the sectors that are really primed to benefit. And obviously, you know, with the caveat that we don't know the result of the House of Representatives, that could, you know, change how easy it is to pass some fiscal legislation. But the areas you have to look at are places like financials, which will benefit from a deregulatory environment and have really taken off here. You have to look at small caps, which have done really well, smaller companies, you know, potentially benefiting from stronger domestic economic growth. And then the places that you keep an eye on are things that are in the crosshairs of the Trump administration, which might be renewable energy, you know, has been under pressure. And then more of the defensive names, you know, as far as things like consumer staples and utilities, just because we're in such a strong growth environment, have been lagging.
So how does the Fed play into all of this? Because inflation was a cornerstone of both presidential candidates during their campaign.
Yeah, the Fed, you know, views itself as apolitical, as very much separate from all of the goings on in Washington. And so, you know, Fed Chair Powell made a point to reiterate that sort of thing at their meeting last week. I think the Fed will continue to slowly but surely cut rates. Obviously, the strong economic growth gives them a little bit of leeway to move at a more leisurely pace. But inflation remains somewhat subdued versus the last couple of years. And so I think the Fed feels confident that it can start to bring rates down to a more neutral level throughout 2025. So we expect it to continue, but maybe at a slower pace than investors had initially expected.
What kind of opportunities lie overseas if we're looking at the international front? And is there concern there? Because there's also been talk of new tariffs.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be, you know, one of the more volatile corners of the, you know, investors' portfolio, I think, as the Trump administration starts to fill out its personnel, as they start to, you know, debate what level of tariff they can get through, what level they'll do at the executive branch. I think the big thing is, and this is bipartisan, quite frankly, is that there will be more aggressive action against China. And so if you're looking for opportunities, I would say that it, you know, it's the countries that might stand to benefit from companies diversifying supply chains out of China from places where trade can pick up. So you look at a place like India, other Southeast Asian countries. I think Mexico would be primed to benefit, but there are obviously other considerations there. with the border and some spats with the Trump administration. So should be volatile, but no shortage of opportunity still.
We're obviously still seeing a very recent reaction to the election results and a lot of risky behavior that follows it on Wall Street. But what advice do you have for investors maybe near retirement that aren't ready to take a lot of risk right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, the nice thing about the Federal Reserve feeling a little more comfortable going slow but sure and cutting interest rates is that you can still get nice yield on fixed income, high quality fixed income. Certainly investors who had gotten accustomed to 5% on their cash over the last couple of years, that will slowly start to go away. But long-term bond yields have actually been on the rise pretty aggressively over the last, you know, couple of months here. So investors who are a little more conservative or are maybe more in the drawdown phase of retirement can still get some really nice fixed income yield. And that's something that you hadn't really seen for the decade prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. So still a lot of opportunity out there in high quality fixed income. And, you know, we expect yields to remain somewhat sticky where they are. So plenty of time for investors to maybe allocate more to fixed income.
Thanks so much. Ross Mayfield, investment strategy analyst at Baird, up next, conducting an end of year financial review.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, as the calendar rolls toward the final weeks of the year, it's important to review your finances and put together a plan to achieve your goals. So let's tap the expertise of Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of Engage Wealth Group here in Chicago. Ed, always glad to chat with you. What are some ways that we can set ourselves up for success in 2025?
Yeah, Rachel, one of the things a lot of your listeners need to remember is a lot of the tax strategies need to be done this year, right before December 31st. And so looking at your portfolio in terms of rebalancing and maybe taking some tax losses and gains, losses might be hard because the year has been very good in terms of stocks. But thinking forward, right, ahead is great, but again, coordinating between your advisor and your tax professional on some things that you can do before year end can really benefit your overall financial standing.
I think it's also a really great time to look through and see, just sort of check in with where you're at in your retirement savings. I think a lot of us, it's sort of a set it, forget it. I know I'm contributing. I know it's getting matched. And, you know, it's just a good way, a good time to reflect.
Absolutely. So look at how much you are contributing. Do you have the potential to contribute even more? A lot of plans, their re-engagement, if you would, in terms of like kind of re-upping is now towards year end in terms of 2025. So see if you can save a little bit more. Are you too allocated to one area, if you would, of investments and not others? Again, kind of have that reset. Has your company offered even more robust plans? Make sure you're taking advantage of that. So yes, between your HR professional and the folks who may be handling your 401ks or 403bs or retirement accounts, yeah, what a great time to check in to make sure that you're really utilizing all the benefits. And then again, looking towards that savings element as well in your plan.
Now, you sort of earlier touched on how our tax decisions today are what set us up for next year. Where do donations to charity, year-end gifts, how do those sort of work into the mix as we have, especially heading into the holidays?
Yeah, that is a great question. And because of the changes in the tax law over the last couple of years, fewer and fewer individuals are able to deduct, right, those charitable contributions. So any of your listeners over 70 and a half, a great way to potentially contribute to charity is through your IRA. So it's a strategy we utilize a lot with our clients. It's something called a qualified charitable distribution, where instead of having funds come out of your checking account, you can send them directly out of your IRA. It's important for your listeners who are taking RMDs to be careful about this. If you've already taken out your required minimum distribution, be very careful because you may not be eligible for that QCD. But QCDs are things that individuals can really benefit from a tax standpoint.
I would also think that you could benefit from looking over your stock options, too. We touched on, you know, making sure you're contributing, if you can, contribute as much as you can to your retirement there. But also, you know, some companies offer incentives when it comes to stock purchases.
Yeah, so think about it this way. What we know definitely for 2024 is we know what the taxes are going to be, and most likely in the 2025 in terms of what the capital gains tax rate is going to be. So we're always we're always leaning towards what we know and what we know for certain. So what we know for certain is we know capital gains rates are relatively low today. So if you have an ability to take advantage of that and to realize some capital gains at a level where we know, that's a good thing. We would think potentially, given the elections and what happened, that 2025, we will know for that in the years beyond. But it's that known known. And one other element I'll bring into this, Rachel, is, you know, you always share, you know, you've got a young child. So if you have had a child this year, right, and you establish a 529 account, a 529 account through BrightStart in Illinois, that's another way of saving money in taxes. So any Illinois residents who will make a contribution to that plan, you know, whether it's parents, grandparents, or any people in the family, can also benefit from that year-end tax deduction by contributing to a 529. So again, you know, engaging with a certified financial planner who can look at all different elements of your life can be very beneficial. And then coordinating with a tax professional, what a great team to help you really try to take advantage of what is available in terms of tax deductions.
Thanks so much for the expert advice. That's Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of Engage Wealth Group. A reminder to join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. And still to come, it's our Monday Stock Picker.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday. You know what that means. We welcome Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago, to help us out. And Jeff, glad to have you with us. What's your first pick?
Well, thanks, Rachel. And quickly, I want to say thank you to all the veterans, including my favorite veteran, my father, U.S. Army Drill Sergeant Kilberg. But we're looking at technology today, and subsequent to President Trump being elected and winning the election last week, we have seen Tesla continue to just be on a tear. It is up 104%, Rachel, in the last 6 months. And this is what I've called on WBM Radio the best and purest artificial intelligence play. Didn't get a lot of agreeance about 6 months ago, but it's been a great stock moving forward for us. And also Palo Alto Networks, cybersecurity become more and more important. You're seeing about 2% pop today, but even in that name, up about 35% in the last 6 months as well, Rachel.
Okay, so let's circle back to Tesla and specifically talk about where this growth is coming from and what its trajectory is moving forward.
Well, I think this has the ability to continue to move higher. It touched $350 today. It was just trading about $215 literally about a month and a half ago. But I think with the Tesla stock price, the artificial intelligence input, with Elon Musk being an advisor or some form of fashion, Rachel, he's going to be in the cabinet of President Trump. I think we're going to see President Trump like EVs and potentially make a simple path or road, if you will, for this autonomous driving, which Tesla is the leader. And so that in itself has seen a lot of people close their short positions on Elon, because remember, Tesla was a very political, emotional stock leading up to the election. But I think this autonomous driving, it's coming, and Tesla is the leader. And now that he has President Trump's ear, I think it's going to be a simple road for Tesla to really expand their ambition about being that full self-driving capability provider.
And Palo Alto Networks, that's cybersecurity, right? So what role does that play, especially when we're looking at international relations?
Well, I think geopolitical tensions continue to ratchet up. I know we've seen a lot of our enemies come out and say that they're going to back down, but cybersecurity coming out of Russia, cybersecurity issues coming out of China, this is a company that's going to continue to grow. And I think when you think about Palo Alto Networks, it's not the average, you know, Magnificent Seven stock you hear about every day, but this is a $130 billion market cap company. And you see, I know it's based in California, maybe they move, but they have 80,000 enterprise customers across the world. So this is a big company that's behind the red velvet curtain, trying to keep servers, trying to keep websites safe. I think Palo Alto Networks is a name that will continue to perform as you see cybersecurity become very important to the S&P 500 and other companies moving up.
All right. So those two picks to recap here, we've got Tesla, the ticker TSLA, and Palo Alto Networks. It's a signature here, PANW. Thanks so much, Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. Now, if you missed today's program, you can also find it in past programs during a podcast at WBBMNewsRadio.com, as well as on the Odyssey app.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.